Well, you know, this is, on Wednesday nights, I like to do a little different. I do different stuff all the time. But tonight, I want to talk to you about building a success mentality. Oh, you know, there's a lot of people, they need to change their mentality. Your mentality has a lot to do with whether you get anywhere in life or not. And I want to look at some scriptures about getting a foundation for, you know, for biblical foundation for success. And, of course, it is the will of God for us to have a successful life. He says so in John 10:10. He says, I want you to have life and have it more abundantly. Well, that's success. Hello? You know, one reason I talk about success a lot, I do it, is, well, I think that's one area that God has sort of anointed me to talk about. Because when people really begin to find out that God wants them to be successful, it begins to change their mentality and they begin to think differently. I got a lot of that from my dad. But if you're going to be successful, you have to build a success mentality. Anything you do in life, your job, your, you know, sports, whatever, you've got to build a mentality for that. You know, I say it all the time, you got to think you can before you can. You got to believe that you can do it. You know, but getting the right knowledge and the wisdom is vitally important if you're going to be successful. And getting some knowledge from the Word of God and some wisdom from the Word of God on making choices, and that helps you to maintain success. And, you know, if you look at when the Word of God and you begin to see that God wants us to be successful, then a success mentality equips you with the ability to make right decisions. Hello? Now, like I said, this is going to be a teaching lesson tonight, try to help you in the natural. You know, that's what I like to talk about. You know, success is not an accident. It just doesn't happen. Success in life is not mysterious thing. I finally got the word out that you can't understand. You can find out how to be successful by getting knowledge and following certain principles in the Word of God. You know, some people think that if you're going to be a Christian, you got to live on Barely Get Along Street right next to Gone Gone Boulevard. That intersects with Grumble Alley. Because I've seen a lot of these people that think that, you know, that being poor or whatever you want to call it, that's godly. Well, I tell you what, they're always griping and complaining and grumbling, and that's not very godly. Come on now. The word of God is full of reliable, I can't even talk tonight, sources that helps us to find out how to have a successful life. Success in life is doing what God wants us to do, and it is achievable. Now, the devil may lie and tell you, oh, you can't do that. Obstacles and oppositions may come and challenge you. It's not may come, they will. They will. And you're going to hit some hard places in life. And you're going to hit some peaks and some valleys as you go through life. In the last verse there in John, Jesus says that you, in this world, you're going to have some trouble. He says it, but he's overcome it. See, as you go out in life to be successful, you should go out with the fact that God is with you and he wants you to be successful and he's going to help you to be successful. Now, he's not going to do it by himself. You're going to have to do some things to be able to be successful in life. Success, some people think, is chasing this ultimate dream, and you finally get there, and you reach the pinnacle. But that's not real success. Real success is a journey. It's a journey that you take while you're walking down here with God, accomplishing certain things in your life. Now, I'm not talking about that everybody's got to be a preacher. No. Some people think that that's the ultimate success. Hey, you got another thought coming. Lord, let somebody else do this, but he didn't do it. But you talk to any minister, they would tell you that it is a success because that's what God called them to do. You know, as we look into the scripture, we'll find people that were successful in life. Let's start off with Joseph in Genesis 39:2. The Lord was with Joseph, so he succeeded in everything he did as he served in the home of his Egyptian master. He succeeded in everything he did. Wow. You need to mark that. See, a lot of people don't realize he succeeded in everything he did. That sort of reminds me of the Apostle Paul. I can do all things through God, which strengthens me. That's the same thing, isn't it? Look at the people of Israel in Deuteronomy 39:9. The Lord your God will then make you successful in everything you do. He will give you many children and numerous livestock. He will cause your fields to produce abundant harvest. For the Lord again delights in being good to you as he was to your ancestors. Well, if he delighted in being good to the children of Israel, he wants us to be the same way, because we are the adopted children into the family. Come on. Look at King Solomon. In 1 Chronicles 29:23. So Solomon took the throne of the Lord in place of his father David, and he succeeded in everything, and all of Israel obeyed him. Every one of these scriptures say that they succeeded in everything. Now look at King Uzziah in 2 Chronicles 26:5. Uzziah sought God during the days of Zechariah, who taught him to fear God. And as long as the king sought guidance from the Lord, God gave him success. Now look at King Hezekiah in 2 Chronicles 31:21. In all he did in the service of the temple of God and in his efforts to follow God's laws and commandments, Hezekiah sought his God wholeheartedly, and as a result, he was very successful. Now, I know somebody said, well, that's all in the Old Testament. Well, now, wait a minute. Isn't it said that we have a better covenant? Hebrews 8:6. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also the mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. Come on now. If God wanted to people, his children in the Old Testament to be successful, he certainly wants us to be successful. Actually, we should be more successful because we have a better covenant than they had. Now, they had a great covenant, but the Bible says we have a better covenant established with better promises. Now, I want you to notice that in order to be successful, they had to go out and conquer. It all came back, though, if you notice, it's to them following God and seeking God. Hello. I mean, Abraham, David, Daniel, you can go and mention a bunch of people that were successful. The Apostle Paul. If God is looking at all of these people and giving them success, he certainly wants to give you success. But he can't do it as long as you think like a loser. You got to think like a winner. Because you are in Christ Jesus. It says so. It says you're more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. See, being successful is not automatic just because you're in Christ. Being successful requires that you keep developing your skills, abilities, and talents. I mean, look at me. And I just use myself as an example. I've had to educate myself about computers and this iPhone and all this stuff. I know some people that have not, older people, that have not done that. You know, I'm not from this kind of a generation. Hello. There are many of you sitting in this congregation right now, you have never known life without a computer. You have never known life where you got to get up and change the television channel. And there's only three stations. Anybody remember that? Oh, I got some people in here to remember that at least anyway. You know, how many of you in here remember when you would pull into the gas station and somebody would come out and they'd put gas in your car, they'd open the hood and check your oil, they'd wash your windows, they'd check the air in your tires? Be careful, you're dating yourself. You know, this new generation, if they don't have a computer to tell them how much change to give you back, they don't know how to make change. Anybody ever run into that? I was somewhere there not very long ago, and this boy, and he said, "I'm sorry, but I don't know how to make change. You got a 20 and it's not working, and it didn't tell me how much money to give you back." So I introduced him to how to make change. If you remember when KY2 or whatever it is, what was that thing? Y2K, yeah. I don't know what it was. But everybody was all concerned. You remember what? Everybody was all concerned about the banking and everything else, you know. And I told y'all, don't be concerned, but some people were buying up, doing this. I said, there's enough of us old heads around that still know how to do it manually. It may take a few days to get it done, but it can get done. It could have got done. Hello. But, you know, keep yourself sharp is what I'm trying to say. You know, you're never too old to learn. We've had some people here that they didn't want to learn computers. So, you know, have to say bye. I began telling the person, you know, we used to do tapes, and you had to cut the tape and splice it together. Anybody remember how you had to do that? Well, I saw this digital age coming, and I saw people going. I kept telling this individual, they worked here. That's what they did. I said, you better go learn how to do that. And he didn't do it. So now we're converting everything to that digital part, and they don't know what to do. There's nothing they can do. If you don't keep up and keep your skills, you can't be successful. Hello? Now, I don't know whether he's here or not, but Gene Whitaker, he works in that department, and he's usually involved. And he learned how to do all that stuff, man. And you go, if you need something, you go down and talk to Gene, because he puts radio programs together. He down there, he knows all of the... And what I like about this new digital aid, if I mess up on a word and I've said it previously, they can go get that word and plug it in right there digitally. Somehow they do all that stuff, you know. But, hey, he saw it coming, and he went, and somebody else didn't. See, being successful requires us to keep learning and keeping developing our skills. See, now, anybody getting anything out of this? I'm trying to talk to you about how to be successful. How many of you won't be successful? Well, I'm glad that 3/4 of you won't be successful. Because y'all can come to church and pay your tithes and give offerings. Because you'll have some money. Isn't it funny when you ask a question at church that I asked one time, how many of you took English in school? And about half the crowd raised their hand. I said, so half of you didn't go to school. Because if you went to school, you got taught English. For I don't know how many years. They taught it to you in elementary school. I don't know what they do now, but wait. And then they taught it to you for at least 3 years in high school when I was there. I don't know what they do now. I don't know what they teach. I don't think they teach anything. I know they don't teach history of our nation. Okay, let's get off of that. I want to give you 7 things that I believe that will help you be successful in natural and spiritual. I try to make my messages so that they can work on both areas, because you are two people living in this world. You are a spiritual person and you're a natural person. And you got a natural world and you got the spiritual world. All right, here we go. Number one, you got to have a teachable spirit so you can gain knowledge and wisdom. How many of you in life, have you ever run into somebody that just didn't have a teachable spirit? Anybody run into somebody like that? Sometimes you're trying to train somebody for a job, and you keep talking to them about how to do it, and they, oh, I know how to do it. You know, you turn them loose, and they make a mess because they don't have a teachable spirit. They think they know it all. Proverbs 1:5 said, a wise man will hear and increase learning. A man of understanding will attain wise counsel. A teachable spirit demonstrates a willingness to learn. Some of you that have been in my class way back in when I taught practical ministries, and I used to say, you try to learn something every day, even if it's what not to do. Try to learn something. See, that keeps your mind sharp. You know. And, you know, one person that doesn't keep their mind open to learn will find that they will be left in the dust. Because this world is ever changing. I don't care if you like it to do it this way. The world is changing. And if you don't go with it, you're going to get left behind. Some people say to me, look how old you are. And look. And I said, hey, it's just a number. I don't think old, I don't act old, and I'm not going to get old. I may mature some, but you get old when you stop learning. You know, if you don't have knowledge in something, then there's all kinds of places to find it. People that have knowledge that you can go to. There's all kinds of materials available for you to read to gain more knowledge in certain subjects. There's the internet. You can go find anything there. If you want to really know something, just go ask Craig because he's a Googleologist. He got a doctorate in Googling. You can be sitting talking about something and say, well, I wonder about this. And within just a couple of 3 or 4 minutes, he comes up with the answer. Oh, me. Okay, let's go on. Be willing to change your thinking as you learn knowledge, and be willing to embrace new ideas and concepts. You know, the thing that bugs me most when I go around this ministry, sometimes talking to people in the department, and I say, well, why are you doing it that way? Well, that's the way we've always done it. I said, this is not 1980. Just because you've done it this way, there is always new ideas and new ways and new concepts. You know, Phil Angman, you see him running around here with that camera all the time. And He had to learn new ideas and new concepts because the photography industry changed drastically. You don't have the film. You have to develop film no more, you know. I mean, we can take pictures here. That, you know, it's just... And then the new deal is, and some of the pictures that you see on our video sometimes is him with his drone that has a camera on it, flying around taking pictures. He'll fly up around over and take an aerial view of the campus. Well, he had to learn. I mean, it's difficult enough to operate that crazy thing and keep it in the air as well, and then take pictures at the same time. But you see, through the years, you have to embrace new concepts, new ideas. you know, hey, I used to work on cars. I can't work on cars no more because I haven't stayed up with that because that's not what my talent. That's what I don't know about that. My grandson does. And I said, well, how do you figure out what's the matter with that? We used to have to troubleshoot. Oh, he said, you just plugged the computer in and punch some buttons. And I said, what are you talking about? And he said, well, if you want to look at the electrical system, you punch this button if you want to. And then besides that, he said, when you plug it in, if there's a problem, it'll immediately tell you error, and it'll take you to where the problem is. I said, oh, you guys have got it easy. We used to have to try to figure it out. This thing does it for you. It tells you where to go start looking for a problem. But I'm talking about embracing new ideas and concepts. And oh my goodness, I'm losing time here. Anybody enjoying this? Secondly, you got to have a giving heart. This enables you to have favor. Now in 2 Corinthians 9:6, we read, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but one who plants generously will get a generous crop. Yet must each decide in his heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide for all your needs, and you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Now, people that are successful understand giving. Not just giving in the church. I mean giving to us, to others, helping others. See, we've been told what to do, to give our tithes, our offerings. But you see, that's not all there is to giving. You got a talent that you can give. You got all kinds of strengths that can help the whole church body. You know, look for ways to be a blessing. Who can I help today? Who can I serve today? My dad used to say, son, don't ever pray, God bless me. He said, pray, God make me a blessing. Every day, pray that God will make you a blessing. You see, successful people find a way to serve others. They know that giving precedes success both in the dictionary and in life. Hello. All right, let's look at the third one. A forgiving attitude. If you're going to have a successful mentality, you got to have a forgiving attitude. Mark 11:25, but when you're praying, first forgive anyone who you're holding a grudge against so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. Forgiveness isn't a suggestion by God. It's a command. And anybody that's ever been in the military understands a command. A command isn't a suggestion. You better get up and get it done. When my mother would say, Ken, take out the trash, that was not a suggestion. Hello? Ken, wax the kitchen and the bathroom floor. It was linoleum. Some of y'all don't even know nothing about linoleum. Any of y'all know anything about linoleum? And it had to be waxed. But when I first started doing it, you had a can of Johnson's paste wax, and you got out on your hands and knees, and you rubbed that stuff on there. And you let it dry, and then you went back and rubbed it off. But it wasn't but a couple, 3 or 4 years. Then they come out with something they call, Johnson come out with something they call Glow Coat. And it was lit. You could pour it on and swab it. And then go back and put the mop and take it off. But you see, how'd I get off on that with forgiveness? Oh, I know. I was talking about it. He said, forgive. It's a command. You do it. That's how I got there. Now, I recovered pretty quick on that one, didn't I? And I got to hurry. I only got 4 minutes. I may go overtime tonight. But I quit short the other night, so I got some time in the bank. Unforgiveness ties God's hands to help you be a success. Actually, unforgiveness just ties God up from really helping you like he would like to. Forgiveness, and get this, is a gift you give yourself. You know, some people have a hard time with forgiveness. I don't know, I guess just because I was raised with Dad and you don't hold grudges, okay, whatever they do, okay, fine. Lord bless them. Somebody says something about you, we've been talked about all our lives, so it don't bother me. One guy said, asked me, don't you bother you? I said, nah, it don't bother me. I was going, Lord, Lord, forgive them and go on. See, you got to have that kind of attitude. My wife will tell you, I don't let nothing bother me. Right? Is that right? She's waving her hand, yeah. Not because she has to, because, you know. One guy said, I'm the head around my house. I said, yeah, but the neck turns your head. But you just don't let anything bother you. I don't care what they do or say. It's their problem, not mine. Unforgiveness will keep you from being successful. Now, number four, wise association. Associations are necessary for success. Proverbs 13:20, walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. To be successful, you have to have the right people around you. Actually, you can only be successful as the people you run with. We're a pretty good crowd here. Man, most of us, God has blessed, and we've been successful, but it doesn't hurt us to look at this again. You know, you may have to separate yourself from some people. There, you know, you have to reevaluate your relationships and companions. Because they can either hinder you or help you to be successful. You know, I look around the room, I see people, you know, that have their degrees, Bill, Tat, Amanda. I watch Chris Cochran over there. Working in he went to Rhema, and then he was going to ORU, and he worked over at the NRC, that front desk. And I watched him, because he had to sit there and watch people come in and out, but I saw him, he would be there studying while he was sitting, because his deal was to do, and he could do that, as he was actually working, but he could do that because he had time. I watched him study. Now he's got those degrees. You know, if you don't, and you associate with winners, don't associate with people that can't give you any wise counsel. Now, let me say this. There are some people that get jealous when they see you sort of making some strides and being successful. They get jealous and they do everything they can to sabotage you. You better get away from those people. They're telling you why it can't be done. I'm telling you why it can be done. It can be done because God says it can. God says you can be successful. He can give you ideas and help you on your job. I know many, many people that even the engineers were having trouble. And this one guy, he prayed, and the Lord told him what the answer was. And he told them, he said, here's the answer. I was on a construction job. And he said, here's the answer. Here's what we got to do. And when he said that, the engineer said, you're exactly right. That will fix the problem. God will give you ideas. Sometimes we don't rely enough on God. I know my wife lost something here a while back. And so I just heard her saying, all right, Lord. We looked everywhere. And she said, all right, Lord, you know where that is. And he told her where to go look. I forgot where he told her to go look now. Oh, in the trash can. She had accidentally picked up there when she was sitting there in the bar in the kitchen doing her work, and then some of it's trash, and she got this important piece of paper that we needed. And we looked everywhere. And the Lord said to go look in the trash. She went out in the garage and looked in the paper that she had thrown in the garbage, and there she found it. It was there. See, we don't depend on God enough. He will give us ideas. And don't associate with somebody that's always putting, if you're coming up with an idea that's putting you down. All right, let's go on. We got to hurry. Guard what you say. Guard what comes out of your mouth. Proverbs 18:21. Hey, can I go over time tonight? Proverbs 18:21. The tongue brings death or life. Those who love to talk will reap consequences. Sometimes you just need to shut up and listen. If you've been around my dad, he'd tell you that. You know, your words can create a path for success or burn a bridges that sabotage you. You know, it's important how you talk. Learn not to talk about your defeats and your setbacks and your failures. Instead, talk about your expectations, your hopes, and your victories. If you talk about your losses and your setbacks and your failures, you're going to give them a picture that you're a loser. They'll never see you as a winner. Every time you talk. Now listen to this, and you need to get on. Every time you talk, you program others about yourself. Just like you program a computer. When you talk, that's why it's important if you're doing a job interview or talk, important that you, hey, say the right things. Hello. Your success depends on your words you speak. Keep talking about what you're going to be and what God is doing for you. See, talk about what the Word says. The Word says you're more than a conqueror. The Word says you are a successful person. The Word says that you can do it. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, you got to begin to have that mentality and think that way. Number six, develop your gifts and abilities to a new level. Just don't be satisfied where you are. Go develop. You know, usually people tend to be successful in areas that they have natural talents in. Most ministers have a natural talent to, they can talk. Most of them. You see, Romans 12, 4 through 5 says, we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Successful people take time and energy to grow their talents. Your abilities and gifts aren't the same. Believe that you can be successful in where you are. Now I'm going to pick on William down here. William is a salesman at Mathis Brothers. And he's good at it. Very good at it. Very successful at it. Now, you don't like me to say this, and he's won all kinds of awards and everything else. I think he just got another one this past year, I think. I don't know. I remember if somebody said you did anyway. But you know what? He takes time to learn sales techniques. Just like I have taken time to learn how to minister. You learn how to preach. You learn how to be a mechanic. You learn how to be an electrician. You learn how to be an attorney. You learn how to be a paralegal. You learn how to be an assistant. You learn how to be work in an oil field. You learn how to work in an office. There are skills that you have. I had the skill of talking. My mom said I started talking when I was 9 months old, walking and talking, and hadn't shut up since. But I never had any problem. I started the school in the first grade. Everybody else, you know, they was going around. Each person had to stand up and give their name, and then some of them, I'm John, and some I'm Sue, and I said, I'm Kenneth. And the teacher looked at me, and so then, I don't know, we had something coming up, and it was a speech, and somebody needed to do some speaking on something. I don't know, and they said, and she said, who thinks you can do this part? She said, I knew you would. Because I just was baited out, stood up very loudly and said who I was. See, you have got to realize that your abilities, my ability has, I tell people all the time, my ability, I'm a visionary. I can give a vision to somebody, I can talk to somebody, and if they'll put it together on a paper, I can get up and deliver it. That's just what I can do. I'm not going to talk about you because you don't want me to. So I talked about William, but that's all right. William knows I love him. And I miss him when he's not there by me. But, you know, identify your gifts. What are you? What are you good at? What do you like to do? If you're going to be successful, you got to get in something you like to do. There are some people, you can't tie them down to a desk job. That's just not them. Come on, they got to be outside doing something, going here, there, and yonder. I mean, so learn what your talents are. Question yourself, what do I enjoy doing? You know, if you are doing a job that you enjoy doing, it's not work. But see, too many people that are just working to live. You should be realize that God wants you to be successful, and as you're working with God to be success, be a success, not just get by. See, invest your time and effort in improving your gifts. Let's go to the last one. A committed heart and mind. You got to be committed. Proverbs 16:3. Commit your actions to the Lord and your plans will succeed. A non-committed person, they're there half of the time, half of the time they're not there. You can't depend on them. Used to in the church, we used to say, who's the busiest person? Well, so-and-so, okay, give this job to him because he'll get it done. Commitment creates a supportive atmosphere. In the world we live in today, people come, they join a church, but they're not committed. They don't get involved. Commitment calls being involved. And here in Tulsa, I'm sorry to say that we got I don't know how many it is, several hundred, maybe even 1,000 people that they're part of Rhema for 6-8 weeks, 2 or 3 months, and then they go over here and they're part of this one, and then they go over here and they'll be over there for a while. They're just floating around. They're not committed to anything. And they're not as successful as they should be. Being committed allows you to be your best. My dad used to say it all the time, son, if it's worth doing, then do it right with everything you got, or don't do it at all. And if you know me, that's how I roll. That's how I go. Make a commitment to the church, your people around you, your company. You'd be surprised if you make a commitment to God, you'd be surprised how much things will start to change. Be committed. Make a commitment to be who you are. Don't try to be somebody you're not. Oh yeah, but this is not a very important job. Hey, if that's who you are, then get involved. I just tried to share tonight things for success, mentality that we need to have. First of all, we got to understand God wants us to be successful. Secondly, we've got to build the success mentality within us. And then we've got to begin to incorporate the Word of God and the natural together to reach that success. It's not all God and it's not all natural. What I say, the natural and the supernatural working together make the explosive force for God. Yes, there's spiritual things that we've talked about in here, and I give you scripture on it. But then there's the natural side of it. We are an individual that lives in two worlds at the same time. We live in the natural world and we live in the spiritual world. We're like a train. We're running on two tracks. And both of them are vitally important. But both of them, there are things that you have to do in order to maintain success. So maintain a mentality, I can do all things through Christ. I can be a success in anything I do, because that's what it said. Everything. We read those scriptures. They were successful in everything, didn't we? How many of you believe that you can be successful? Because God wants you to be successful. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight that we just dealt with a few things for the natural and the spiritual side of life. And I pray, Father, that each individual will have gotten a hold of the part that they need for their life and begin to make it work. You want us to be successful, and I believe that we all can. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Did you get anything out of this tonight? Anybody get anything? Anybody get something a little different? I know it was a different type of message. But in order to be successful, first of all, you've got to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you happen to be in this place and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, you're not going to be a success until you find Him as your Savior. If you're in this place and you need Christ, the ladies are here and the men are over here. And if you'll come down here, they'll pray with you and you will find Christ. If you need to rededicate your life, you say, what do you mean rededicate? Well, you've accepted Christ, but you're not living where you need to live with Him, so you need to rededicate. Or if you need prayer for any reason, for anything, come to the front as we're dismissed. Everybody stand up, please. Connection team, go find those people, the first-time guests, and take them to get that gift. And if you're looking for a church home, what do we say, church? Just come on and join our family. We have a great time serving God Unlimited around here. I trust that what we said tonight will be of great benefit to you guys. I trust that they will help you to be a success in life as well as success in the spiritual side. Amen. Remember all the announcements, okay? And remember, tell your friends, your neighbors, your outlaws, your in-laws, and everybody else, and get some bulletins, not this Friday, but the next Friday, the 21st, I believe it is, that we're going to have Raymond night at Creek County Speedway, and we want to fill those stands up and cheer for Michael and Craig. And when they both get, Cameron. And when they get into the racing in the same race, I'm sorry, I'll have to go with Cameron, but y'all can go with whoever you want to, but Cameron is the best. And his car number is number 5. You'll see it. We'll get some pictures, and Michael's car number is 11. So, hey, remember all of our announcements. Hey, Sunday morning right here, it's Father's Day. Hello, come. We're going to have a great Father's Day service, all right? Because I worked really hard today for about 3 hours putting my Father's Day message together, and I think it is a good one, okay? So come and hear it. I'm going to use the verse of Scripture and talk about something, and it's going, and you say, well, I never thought about that, okay? All right. See you Sunday. Shake hands with somebody. Tell them, I'm going to be successful. What about you? If you need prayer for any reason, anything, come to the front right now. You need prayer for any reason whatsoever. Come to the front for right now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen.